talk a little bit about this shooting. The Syrian-born gunman, known as Hamad Alessa, 21 years of age, was known to the FBI and ranked and ranted about Islamophobes hacking his phone before killing 10 at a Boulder grocery store with an assault rifle he bought 1 week ago. Let's be clear, it's not an assault rifle. It was an assault pistol. So it was short-barreled, and it kind of was a pistol formation, most likely chambered for 9mm. He opened fire at the grocery store at 2:40 p.m. The grocery store has signs on the doors, no weapon. Apparently he doesn't listen to that. Two people were killed in the parking lot, other 8 people inside. His motive is still not known, and he surrendered to the police and asked to speak to his mother. His brother also told the Daily Beast he was very antisocial and has been paranoid since high school. He described him as mentally ill since he was bullied in school and was not politically motivated. So the guy's a wackadoo. Kind of interesting. This is the second major shooting since President Biden has taken office. And of course, President Biden had to say we need to ban assault rifles. So let me give you a little piece of 2019 FBI statistics, and then I will pass it on. In 2019, there was 364 homicides committed with long rifle, which there is no such thing as an assault weapon. It's a long rifle. On contrast, there was just over 600 homicides committed in 2019, FBI statistics, with fists, bats, or legs, meaning blunt objects. So the people were bludgeoned. So that's twice as many from bludgeoning than long weapons. This is an interesting statistic. 1,476 homicides in 2019 were with knives, sharp objects, knives. However, we want to ban assault weapons because this government does not want the American public to have the firepower to defend themselves from a tyrannous government. With that being said, Mr. Larry, I'm going to pass it on to you, sir. N4ROQKAJY.
Hey, thank you,
Mike.
Says the Earth is safe from asteroids for 100 years. Can you believe that? How in the world do we know 100 years in advance for when asteroids coming down on us or not? Some cosmic news, NASA has managed the Earth all clear for the next century from a particularly bleak, menacing asteroid that the space agency announced this week. A new telescope observation that ruled out any chance of a puppet, APOPHIN, tracking Earth in 2068. That's the same limited space rock that was supposed to come frighteningly close in 2029 and again in 2036. NASA ruled out any chance of a strike during those two close approaches a while ago. So the potential they must have hit that thing with some atomic bombs or something. Who knows? All right, let's see. Pelosi taps D.C. National Guard head to lead House Security. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced Friday that she has tapped Major General William Walker, Commanding General of the District of Columbia National Guard, to be the House's first African-American Sergeant-at-Arms. Walker will lead House Security Measures of Congress to deal with the aftermath of the January 6th attack on the Capitol and figured out how to keep our major strength moving forward. Walker sent troops to back up overwhelm the Capitol police. Walker will replace Todd Irving, who resigned. Okay, N402 Friday. Okay, here's an article that was brought out last week. This is about the U.S. prison guards who refused vaccines. What is it? U.S. prison guards refused vaccines. Some distrust officials. It's from Nicole Wolf and Michael R. Sisnick. A Florida correctional officer polled his colleagues earlier this year in a private Facebook group. Will you take the COVID-19 vaccine, which is the China virus, if offered? The answer from more than half was an emphatic no. Only 40 of the 475 respondents said yes. They say still some correctional officers are refusing the vaccine. Of course, these prisoners are saying, oh, we need you to take it, you know, and all this stuff. It says still some correctional officers are refusing the vaccine because they fear both short and long-term side effects of the immunization. Others have embraced conspiracy theories about the vaccine, distrust of the prison administration, and the tunneling of riots has also discouraged officers from being immunized. A resistance to the vaccine is not unique to correctional officers. The worst effects of the pandemic declined to be vaccinated at unexpectedly high rates. They're watching what's going on out there, people. The refusal of prison officers to be taken after not enough to return officers on down. A pretty big article, so I won't read it all. Is in January. Radio and FBI Miami Board Sylvester Jenkins sent an email to employees saying that in an act of solidarity, they had agreed to get vaccinated and encouraged staff to get vaccinated. Even though this motion is not mandatory, nevertheless, with the intent of promoting staff safety, we encourage all staff to join us, the January the 27th email said. Only 25 employees signed up as a result of the email. Only 25 employees signed up. The FBI manager, he made his phone right back. He says, and moving on down. As part of the resistance to the vaccine is widespread misinformation about correctional staff, says Brian Donnell, DAWE, a former correctional officer and National Director of U.S. United, policy and evidence degree for officers. A majority of people in law enforcement lean right, Donald said. They get a lot of their information from the right-wing media outlets. He said a lot of them believe you don't have to wear a mask. They thought the flu, not the pros of changing the temperature without 40 degrees, are the most resistant to the vaccine. And moving on from there, let's see. Guards' refusal to be vaccinated has been a blessing for some incarcerated people. The vaccines have a short shelf life after being thawed. Offered the leftover vaccine to prisoners that still waiting to go in. Okay, moving on down, let's see, employees cannot mandate that staff get vaccinated. Employers cannot mandate that staff get vaccinated. Thank goodness. They did, they'd be giving us all kinds of stuff that might not be so good for us. But anyway, I thought that was a good article because of, I think the way that they're pushing this on the society, they're saying you can't fly a plane, you can't go in a federal building, you can't do this, you can't do that if you don't, if you're not vaccinated. So that's the way they're trying to push it on. Push it on us down here. And I haven't heard a lot of, I know the cruise lines, a lot of the cruises are saying you can't go on a cruise without being vaccinated. So that's not going to, that's going to really hurt their business, I'm thinking. And let's see if I can find another little article here in Well Read. So the U.S. Mexico to hold talks on immigration or migration. Mexico announced Monday that several top U.S. advisors on border and immigration issues will meet with Mexican officials to discuss migration and development in Central America. The talks come as a surge of migrants attempting U.S. southern border. The trip to Mexico will include Roberto Jacobson, the White House's lead advisor on the border, and Juan Gonzalez, the National Security Council's senior director for the Western Hemisphere. White House said Jacobson, a former U.S. ambassador to Mexico, headed there also to engage with Mexican government officials to develop an effective and humane plan of action to manage migration. Roberto Valdesco, Mexico's director for North American Affairs, said the talks will focus on the two countries' joint efforts for secure, safe, and regulated migration. So Trump had all this worked out. He had it all set up where they wouldn't be coming in, turn them around and go back the other way. Mexican troops were watching the borders and everything. So, Biden canceled all these good plans and put in a bunch of nothing on our side, just letting them flow in. So we'll see, what he can do, how he's going to work it. To meet with Guatemalan government officials, as well as representatives from civil society and non-governmental organizations, to address root causes of migration in the region and build a new, hopeful future in the region. Among U.S. officials is Ricardo Zuniga, who was named Monday a special envoy for the Northern Triangle, which includes El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. So we'll stop it right there, see how the band is. Back to you there, Bob, from N4ROQ, Larry in Tennessee.
Thank you, Larry. Well, as far as that job's concerned, I am going with the abortion rights people. My body, my choice, no shot. So with that being said, let me go to Mr. Bill.
KO4FE, KAHJOY. Okay, KAHJOY, Liberty Net from KO4FE. Okay, Bob, well, Hunter Biden's in the news again. This guy is just a mess. Probably Joe Biden would want to have his son kind of like maybe just go away or something. Here's a headline off Breitbart. Hunter Biden may have committed a felony during firearm purchase. Hunter Biden, President Joe Biden's son, known largely for his mysterious, lucrative foreign business dealings that the establishment media routinely ignored during the presidential election, may have committed a felony when purchasing a gun in 2018, purportedly lying about his history of drug use on the form. A Politico piece details how the Secret Service reportedly inserted itself in an incident involving Hunter Biden and Hallie, his brother's widow, whom Hunter briefly dated. The situation had Hallie tossing a gun belonging to Hunter into a trash can behind a grocery store, only to have the firearm later disappear. According to the outlet, following the incident, Secret Service approached the owner of the store where Hunter bought the gun and asked to take the paperwork involving the sale. According to two people, one of whom has firsthand knowledge of the episode, and the other was briefed by a Secret Service agent after the fact. The gun store owner refused to supply the paperwork, suspecting that the Secret Service officers wanted to hide Hunter's ownership of the missing gun in case it were to be involved in a crime, the two people said. The owner, Ron Palmieri, later turned over the papers to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, which oversees federal gun laws. The Secret Service claims it has no record of its agents investigating the incident, and Joe Biden, who was not under the protection of the Secret Service at the time, said through a spokesman he has no knowledge of any Secret Service involved. Days later, the gun was returned by an older man who regularly rummages through the grocery store's trash to collect recyclable items, according to people familiar with the situation. Politico managed to obtain a copy of the firearms transaction record and a receipt for the gun in question dated October 12, 2018. It asked, are you an unlawful user of or addicted to marijuana or any depressant, stimulant, narcotic drug, or any other controlled substance? Hunter answered no, despite his history of drug use, something that ultimately had him discharged from the Navy. It says, even worse, lying on the form is a felony, though prosecutions for it are exceedingly rare, Politico reported, adding that neither Hallie Biden nor Hunter's personal lawyer provided a comment on the matter. The news comes as Democrats begin to vehemently pursue gun control measures, with President Biden pushing Congress to act on House H.R. 8 and H.R. 1446 and calling for a so-called assault weapons ban in the wake of Monday's shooting attack at a Boulder, Colorado grocery store. So this is interesting on several fronts. Number one, why was the Secret Service getting involved in this situation when neither Hunter or even his father was under Secret Service protection? Could it have been people pretending to be Secret Service? And also the fact that Hunter Biden obviously lied on the form when he bought the gun, claiming that, denying that he had any drug problems. So anyway, we'll see where this goes. Probably nowhere. But I'll tell you what, probably Joe wishes his boy would just go away for a while, because he's always in the news with some kind of nefarious activity, whether it's drug use, underage girls, knocking up strippers. Now it's gun issues. So we'll see what happens. Well, here's another story. Baltimore's fixing to become a nicer place, at least under the mentality of the liberals. Gateway Pundit, Baltimore will no longer prosecute so-called low-level crimes like prostitution, trespassing, urinating in public, and selling drugs. The crime-ridden city of Baltimore will no longer be prosecuting so-called low-level crimes, including prostitution and drug distribution, the state's attorney Marilyn Mosby announced on Friday. Crimes that will no longer be prosecuted include drug possession, attempted distribution of illegal drugs, paraphernalia possession, prostitution, trespassing, minor traffic offenses, open container, rogue and vagabond, urinating and defecating in public. The crumbling city has already had 44 murders and 94 non-fatal shootings this year. In a press release about their new acceptance of certain crimes, Mosby's office said that policies enacted over the past year have resulted in a decrease in arrests, no adverse impact on crime rates, and address the systematic inequity of mass incarceration. Yeah, just don't arrest the criminals, and then you won't have any mass incarceration. You know, if they've been having all these problems with so-called systematic inequity, I mean, that's all Democrats. The Democrats have been running Baltimore for decades, so if there's anything going on with so-called systematic inequity and mass incarceration, it's their responsibility. Continuing on with their statement, it says, therefore, the state attorney also announced today the permanent adoption of these policies as we continue to prioritize the prosecution of public safety crimes over low-level nonviolent offenses. It says, today, America's war on drug users is over in the city of Baltimore. We leave behind the era of tough-on-crime prosecution and zero-tolerance policing and no longer default to the status quo to criminalize mostly people of color for addiction. We will develop sustainable solutions and allow our public health partners to do their part to address mental health and substance use disorder, said state's attorney Mosby. The mayor applauded the decision. She said, re-imaging public safety in Baltimore requires innovation and collaborative efforts. I applaud state's attorney Mosby's office for working with partners to stem violence in Baltimore and ensure residents have adequate support services they deserve, said Mayor Brandon Scott. No relation to me. But I seem to recall that David Dinkins tried this type of an approach in New York City back in the 80s, and it ended up being a total disaster. And I think it was Rudy Giuliani had to come in and clean that mess up. But anyway, Baltimore is going to head further down into the gutter. They're not going to be prosecuting drug dealing and prostitution and urinating in public and all trespassing and all these other laws. Probably ought to get rid of the laws against burglary and assault, and they'd have even fewer people going to jail then, according to their logic. So anyway, back to you, Bob. KAAJOY, Liberty Net, KO4FE.
I don't understand how they can think that allowing criminals to continue to commit crime is good for our community. Maryland's already a crap hole. I don't know if you ever watched that advertisement for a young lady. She was a black female, Kimberly Classic. She was running for House of Representatives, and she took you for a walk through in Baltimore. What is this, over?
Yeah, Roger. Well, you know what? The liberals, the solution, the problem is always the police and the jails, never the criminals.
Yep. Until it knocks on one of their doors. Alrighty, thank you, Mr. Bill. KO4FE, KHNOI. Next on my list is Miss Laura, N2JTT. Good evening, Miss Laura. She's listening, along with the our net manager, N2IRJ, Mr. Marty. Good evening to you. So, next I'm going to jump down to Mark in Piney Point. November 3, Whiskey, Zulu, Sierra. Mr. Mark, it's up to you.
Oh, gee whiz. Am I coming across okay? What kind of a copy do you have on me? Are we good?
In Ohio, I hear you at 20 over 9.
Oh, okay. Well, very good. Yeah, I mean, you're a lot of static taxes, but yeah, so we'll go ahead and get started with this. So I'm sure you've heard about the tremendous ship that is stuck in the Suez Canal. And certainly you must have heard about it, and you can hear and read about it in the TVs and the internet. It's just everywhere. And so this Suez Canal is blocked. And it's blocked by a ship that is actually run by the Evergreen Corporation. And now the Evergreen Corporation, now, does anybody recall Hillary Rodham Clinton and her code name was Evergreen? So there is, it appears to be a connection with the HRC, the Hillary Rodham Clinton name, to this Evergreen shipping vessel. And so there's some interesting things that have happened with this. And so let me just read this little parts of this article here, if you don't mind. And so it goes, so this massive container ship Evergreen is stuck in the most awkward possible way, ongoing for hours. Every tug in Egypt's despair appears to be trying to pull it free. And now this is a 225,000 ton vessel. And it's 1,200 feet long, going through a 900 foot wide canal. And so they're blaming this grounding onto perhaps human error and perhaps some wind conditions. But the fact is that the navigation system was hacked. And the White Hat ran this thing aground. And you think, well, why would they run this thing aground? And so, well, you know, the call letters, again, I have to go back to this. The call letters of that ship is H3RC. H3RC. And the HRC stands for whom? Hillary Rodham Clinton. And for those who have another name for this chick, HRC stands for Hillary Rotten Clinton. And now the most exciting part about this, the tugboat that was trying to pull out the H3RC is the Baraka. You can't make this stuff up. So, Baraka. And there was also the 300 tugboats around it, for the Mossad, 1, 2, and 3. See, this connection. They're trying to cover what is going on here. Now, so here's what folks in the know are saying, that this vessel is actually involved seriously in the human trafficking trade, not only just trafficking, but it is also a processing ship. And being a processing ship is no different than whales. We process whales and stuff when we're back home. This is an adrenochrome harvesting ship, and the shipping idea is a cover for what they're actually doing. The vessel actually left China prior to and was on its way to the Netherlands, to Rotterdam, the big Netherlands port. And of course, the Netherlands is notorious for child trafficking. And so the White Hat actually commandeered an aircraft system. They import feed with it and then ran it into a bank. We've got the Russian Navy on one side, the American Navy on the other. So this is a takedown. This is being orchestrated. And so this is really good news for everybody. Anyways, on that, we're gonna turn it back over to next control. This is N3WZS.
So, Mark, how long has this vessel been stuck in the Suez Canal?
Yeah, so this happened on Monday, and so they partially reported it, but then they have some difficulty being blockaded. So, it ran around, coincidentally, at 5:40 on, I want to say that it was either Monday or Tuesday, and so... And if you look at the numerology involved with the number 540, if you do numerology, 5 and 4 is a number. If you do numerology on it, 5 and a 4 is 9, which coincidence that they ran this thing aground at exactly 5:40. It sat there for about 3 days, and then on a high tide, they were able to partially refloat it. However, they're going to have to salvage something. And so this is going to take a terrible time. It just kind of the runway is open.
Amazing. Well, thank you for that information. M3WZS-KJY. Appreciate your input, and we will be back to you. Next is Mr. Jesse. KG4ZX Tennessee with your flickering light. KAJOY.
Okay, roger, roger.
Go
ahead, Bob. Are you copying me okay?
I am, but you're kind of light. Is your amplifier on?
Well, not yet. I'm getting ready to copy. Hi, Kilo Golf Home, Charlie. Let me tune this thing a little bit just to make sure that it seems to be floating out where it needs to. Okay, it looks like it's operational. Hey, Bob, did that help?
Roger, roger, on it, help.
Hi, very good, guys. Hi, good evening, everyone, on the Saturday Night Liberty Net. This is Kilo Golf 4, Zulu X-Ray Charlie. Jesse here out of the great state of Voter Fraud, Pennsylvania. Once again, this is the Saturday Night Liberty Net. Thanks, Bob, for running that. And sounds like the usual bunch is in there, but I'd like to say thank you for coming by to the other gentleman that just spoke. Didn't catch your name. Mr. Mars, okay. N3WZF. Good comment on the cargo with HRC. Yeah. Three. Yeah. I read that story the other day and I was shocked when I found out the information there. Well, anyway, I don't have a lot I wanted to go into because everything is so crazy. I mean, where do you look at any news anymore? There's nothing out here that really makes me want to read news anymore. I mean, I just want to bury my head in the sand, but unfortunately, I can't do that. They don't call this a Liberty Net for no reason, so I'm going to voice my First Amendment right, use my First Amendment right, and voice my opinion. Well, anyway, I got the story coming off of InfoWars tonight. NIH, Direct Hispanic. We need to convince vaccine skeptics to get a COVID shot ASAP. Yeah, about that. Let me tell you what I think about this COVID vaccine. I'm going to read the article first, and then I'll tell you about it. National Institute of Health Director Francis Collum is sounding the alarm about the high number of people still hesitant to take the COVID-19 China 19 vaccine shot. In an exclusive Saturday night interview, Collins first explained that Blacks, Christians, and Republicans are the main groups who are most skeptical to receive the vaccine for different reasons. Well, I can explain quite a few reasons why I won't take it. Well, anyway, Collins said Blacks have their reasons to somewhat doubtful of the vaccine due to their infamous Tuskegee experiment. Christians have the fatal tissue issue with vaccines, and happy Republican men believe there's a political agenda tied to the vaccine. Well, you know, I'm not going to disagree with that. In every instance that I've learned, if somebody says they're hesitant, the first thing I want to know is, tell me about that. Tell me why it is so troubling. Is it conspiracy theories you've been hearing? There are plenty of those out there in the media and it is a concern about safety issues and having been fully addressed due to some other factors that is there. And there's no single, and there is no single, I think, best response until you listen to hear what the basis of this experience, the hesitancy is with most people. Well, I'm not going to go into this article because, you know, we all know what the reason behind it is. It is conspiracy. It is a trap. It is inadequate research. The FDA has completely lied to us in every aspect. The CDC has lied to us. And we're supposed to believe these people. And they wonder why there's a hesitancy in people taking the COVID shot. Well, personally, the China-19 vaccine, you know, this whole thing started out with Dr. Fauci, and then, let's see, who's the other person that's got his big beers in there? Let's see, what was his name? Microsoft douchebag. Yeah, that guy. You know, that guy I really hate. You know, the Microsoft guy, well, you know, I can't stand him neither. I'll think of his name here when I get off my rant here, but the main thing is, it's poison. And with guinea pigs, I'm not going to buy into their dang experimentation because we know how the federal government lies. They're protecting us on every level. Look at our borders, guys. Look at the borders, for God's sakes, and then Dan tell me about, you know, that they can be trusted. Well, we have been taken over by Chinese Communist Party, and they're all in Congress. It is called the swap, and this is America, ladies and gentlemen. We are fighting for our lives, and if you don't get off your ass and do something finally, once and for all, and make a statement or do something else rather than sit on your dirty ass and be a dang sheep, then that's okay. I'm just, I'm preaching to the choir here on the Liberty Net, people. I know I am because most of you guys out there know what's going down and you know what it's about. And we need to all take measures to protect our families and our lifestyle. And if we keep buying into this political garbage, we're no better than anybody else out here. Well, there's my point, and I'll leave it with that. This is Saturday Night Liberty Net, and I'm KT4ZXC with Attitude. And that's back up to you, Bob. So take it away, and hope everybody heard that. KT4ZXC, back to the net.
All righty, Jesse, thank you. KT4ZX Tennessee. Appreciate your input. Let me shout out to Christopher. Kilo, November 4, Zulu, Echo, Sierra, Mr. in Tennessee. He is listening. Let me see if I have to make check-ins before I make one comment and then go back up to the top. This is KHLY for the real Liberty Net. Do I have any additional late check-ins? And there is Mr. Mo, 80RSA. Let me click on you. Mr. Mo, I'm going to hand it to you. Do you have anything for us, over? Mr. Mo, well, my comment at the top is going to involve the Second Amendment. So thank you for jumping in there with us. Do I have anybody else? I think I heard Mr. Frank. Let me quick look here on the paper because it's not that often I write it. Whiskey 2 GIO?
Yeah, that's me. I'm here.
Alrighty, Mr. Frank. Well, let me pass it to you. We're at the bottom of the list. Go ahead and tell us your comments.
Okay. The only comment that I have, I guess, two points. One part is, I was watching some YouTube videos, and in the House of Representatives, we had some really neat people that were, I guess, in the Oversight Committee, and one was Trey Gowdy, and the other one was Jason Chaffetz. And I don't know, was it about a year or two ago, Trey Gowdy texted in and went back to South Carolina. And just recently, Chaffetz texted in and went back to Utah. And his comment was that even that they call up people and they try to figure out what's going on in the government, and all they do is get stonewalled. They ask for documents that they request, and they're not getting it. And the problem is, it appears that their hands are good. They're not. They don't have any power to penalize anybody that's not forthcoming with the information that they're asking for. So apparently, Chaffetz said, I can't handle this. I got to put in 16 hours a day between working and fundraising, but says he's got to raise $1 million a year in order to basically stay in the position that he was in for the RNC. So all I can say is I wasn't too excited about hearing that, because I like those two guys and I thought they were doing good work. It's just that they could not get enough backing to give them any power to hold these people accountable that were not willing to give them the documents and stuff that they were requesting. On the other note, I get a phone call from woman in Arizona that I've been supporting, and I got to remember her name, but she left me a, she's in the Senate, Arizona Senate, I think. And she said that Arizona and Texas are both going to be funding, continue funding, building the wall down there in the Mexican wall. So that's the information I got. And of course, she asked me to send her some more money. So, and I guess I'll do that. But she's one of the retired Air Force persons, and I think it's Wendy Rogers, but I'm not sure if I got that right or not. Anyhow, that's it for me, WTGIO.
All righty, Frank. Thank you for that input. We appreciate it. Do I have anybody else before I go to the top? Can I get a relay from somebody, because I can't pull that call out? Alrighty, I got the Kilo and the Foxtrot. What's the number? Does anybody hear the gentleman with the Kilo Foxtrot? I don't know the number. Romeo Echo X-ray. I still don't have it. Does anybody have a relay for me?
Too noisy, Bob.
What'd you say, Jesse?
The band is just too noisy to pull them out here.
Okay, we'll try at the bottom again. I'm sorry I could not come up with that proper call, because the band is extremely noisy. But before I go to the top of the list, I'm going to throw out, as soon as that crazy sleepy floppy Joe said about the assault weapon, I got my pen and pencil out again. Really, my typewriter, or my Microsoft. It's Bill Gates, by the way, Jesse. And I type letters to both my senators and my congressmen. My letter starts out, "The beginning of the U.S. Constitution reads," and you know what it reads, "We the people of the United States," on and on and on and on. My next paragraph. "That being said, the Constitution does not say, 'We the government will tell you how to live, how to act, when to travel, what holiday you can celebrate, or whether an American can own a weapon and get the damn shot. This is a representative republic. However, the far left of the Democratic Party has forgotten that two-word explanation of what America is. My next paragraph. My letter to you, Senator Rob Portman, is very simple and to the point. No additional weapon laws, no additional restrictions, and no infringement on our Second Amendment rights as an American citizen, no matter what President Biden states. My next paragraph. The weapon or tool did not kill the individuals in either of the shootings. The sick, demented human that has no respect for human life killed them. The Ford or the Chevy that is involved in a fatal drunk driving crash is not blamed. The drunk driver is blamed. Tell the Dems to stop making every tragedy into an event to disarm the good American citizen. My last paragraph. Remember, the people and our politicians can vote themselves into communism. However, the people will have to fight and shoot their way back to freedom. So I can only hope that maybe writing letters will make a difference. I have gotten into kind of a habit of doing that. So with that being said, Mr. Larry, I hope the storms are still holding off. N4ROQ, KHLI.
Okay, thank you. I have to unplug it off. But it went back away, the storm did, so hopefully it's going to stay here for a while. North Korea is resuming tests of ballistic missiles. North Korea on Thursday test fired its first ballistic missile since President Joe Biden took office as it expands its military capabilities and increases pressure on Washington while nuclear negotiations remain stalled. Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga said North Korea's resumption of ballistic testing threatens peace and safety in Japan and the region. Tokyo will closely coordinate with Washington on the North's military activities. South Korean Foreign Minister Chan Myung-yong, after meeting Russian counterpart in Seoul, expressed deep concern and urged the North to uphold its commitment to peace. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov called for a swift resumption of dialogue to resolve the standoff with North Korea. South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff said the two short-range missiles were fired at 7:06 a.m. and 7:25 a.m. on the northeastern coast. Includes 279 miles on an altitude of 37 miles before landing on the sea. The senior U.S. officials spoke on condition of anonymity to discuss military operations. The information from Tokyo and Seoul. Some initial assessments suggest the North fired six short-range missiles. This activity highlights the threat that North Korea's ballistic weapon program poses to its neighbors and the international community, said U.S. Indo-Pacific Command spokesperson Captain Mike Kafka. North Korea has a history of testing new U.S. administrations with missile launches and other provocations aimed at forcing the Americans back to the negotiating table. So, North Korea is at it again. You hear about this, Joe Biden? That was against somebody in the White House. It's been a little while back, but I bring this out. First family sweet dogs will return to White House, Biden says. This came from Wilmington, Delaware. Joe Biden said that his dog Major, who had been involved in a biting incident at the White House, was a sweet dog. He was a sweet dog. Major, a 3-year-old rescue dog, and Champ, who is 12, were moved to the Biden's Delaware home after the incident, but the president said they would return to the White House. The president said that the dog is being trained now. He's trying to train these dogs from Biden people. He's got it out.
Jumping up on a weekly, sometimes daily basis with a wealthy environmentalist wanting them to go even higher so people will drive less.
This is true.
Illegal immigrants will not be flooding into the country and there would be no crisis at the border. That's true. Prisoners and illegal immigrants would not be receiving $1,400 checks from the federal government. Black and brown farmers would not be receiving forgiveness for 120% of the federal loans that they have made no payments on, while white farmers are not giving this forgiveness, this extra money. Now, here's this Biden administration. The white people are being oppressed here in the U.S. We will not be nationalized federal elections. We will not be nationalized federal elections so that there could be same day registration. No way to verify IDs and addresses and millions. Mail-in ballots to make sure Democrats control all of our elections. So, I mean, they're doing this to win these elections. There would be no statehood for Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico for partisan political purposes so Democrats can get four more U.S. senators. Possibly the biggest tax hike in history would not be heading our way and being done in a way so that the harm to middle and lower income people is hidden from them. Missouri wasteful, inefficient blue states mayors and governors would not be bailed out with a $50 billion so they could continue paying very exorbitant salaries and pensions to their very bloated payrolls. The first federal income tax was passed in 1913. And it was only 1% of all income over $3,000 a year. Very few people made that much then, so it affected only 3% of the population. And that was little, and there was little opposition to it. However, because you can never satisfy government's appetite for land or money, all sorts of new taxes were added on over the years. When Tennessee created the state sales tax in the mid-60s, it was only 3%. This was in Tennessee where I left. How nice it would be even if it was still at that level today. You know what it is here now? It's 9.25% in Tennessee. It is the state sales tax, 9.25. Ridiculous. The problem with D.C. and Puerto Rico statehood, besides being done for partisan political reasons, is that it will be very costly and harmful to all states we have now. It will further dilute the power of present senators. Every state has a combination of urban, suburban, and rural interests. Washington, D.C. is just a city and not even one of our largest. It already gets about 10 times more federal money per capita than any other state, so it's not being treated unfairly. We then start seeing other large cities clamoring to become states so they can get additional senators. New York City has never liked me having to deal with the medium-sized cities, small towns, and rural areas of upstate New York. If or when Republicans come back into power, should they create new states in Republican areas? The signs at the entrances to Tennessee for many years have been welcome to the three states of Tennessee. Our state lines have called recognized what are called the three grand divisions. We think we'd be better off to have West Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, and Eastern Tennessee as three complete states so we could have six Republican senators and other advantages. I am not advocating this, but it makes more sense than making D.C. a state.
This guy was very intelligent. He was a former judge here in Knoxville before becoming a representative. His name is John J. Duncan Jr. He writes an article every week or so in this paper. So,
thank you, Bob. Jesse, you're running some great powers down this way. You're coming in good. Enjoying the net. Thanks for running it, there. Bob, back to you, KAHJY from N4ROQ on the Liberty Net.
Alrighty, Larry. It's kind of interesting. Why doesn't somebody talk about reverse discrimination if the brown and the black farmers are having a better break than the white farmers? Over.
Well, I don't know that they even think of that. They don't even want to talk about reverse discrimination. They just want to talk about anything that they can think of for calling it discrimination. It's always been reverse discrimination. You know, I can remember back when I got out of college many moons ago, went to fill applications in, and they said, we could hire you today if you were black. But we can't because we got to hire so many blacks. And that was kind of under the table, they told me. It said, that's between you and me. But, you know, this is really ridiculous. Got to hire the people who are more qualified for the job. So back to you, Bob, N4ROQ.
Amazing. Thank you, Larry, N4ROQ, KHOY. Down to Mr. Bill, KO4FE. KAHJOY, Mr. Bill, what do you have for us?
KAHJOY, Liberty Net, from KO4FE. Well, the reason why that's not going to happen is because we're living under an anti-white system. It's been that way for decades. I mean, I can remember my late father-in-law back in the 70s told me that he tried to get SBA loans when he was back trying to get money for his contracting business, and the guy at the SBA told him point blank, if you were black, I could give you all kind of loans, but since you're not, there's no money available. And that was back in the late 70s. And I'm sure it's worse now. And it's in the colleges, and I'm going to give you some evidence of that right now. Gateway Pundit, Florida State University holding racist history of Karen class to trash white women. A racist class being offered at Florida State University will focus on the history of Karen to attack white women. The term Karen has been widely used as a slur against your average everyday white woman. A flyer for the class hosted by Dr. Megan Martinez features women of the Ku Klux Klan and an emoji with the stereotypical "Can I speak to a manager?" haircut. The flyer also features a quote from New York Times columnist Charles Blow, who's black. He said the activation of white terror is a white woman's soft power. We like to masculinize white supremacy to presume it reeks of testosterone when in fact it's just as likely to be spritzed by perfume, close quote. The course, first reported by Campus Reform, will require reading a syllabus of books including Hood Feminism by Mickey Kendall, Too Fat, Too Slutty, Too Loud, The Rise and Reign of Unruly Women by Ann Helen Peterson, and Eloquent Rage, A Black Feminist Discovers Her Superpower by Brittany Cooper. Campus Reform notes that according to Dr. Martinez's profile, she primarily researches the history of racial violence and racial inequality in the U.S. and its legacies. Racial violence. I wonder if she's looked at the FBI crime statistics lately. Because from what last time I checked, and this has been true for a long time, 90% of the racial violence in this country is against white people. Well, anyway, got more of this craziness going on. It says, Cigna critical race theory training. Don't say brown bag lunch. I mean, some of this stuff goes from malicious to just crazy. But anyway, I gave you an example of malicious. Now we're going to move into the craziness category. It says, employees at one of the nation's largest health insurance providers are routinely subjected to far-left critical race theory lessons and asked not to consider white men for hiring decisions, according to leaked documents and chat logs obtained by the Washington Examiner. Those who work at Cigna told the Washington Examiner that they are expected to undergo sensitivity training they consider racist and discriminatory. Lessons include reviews of concepts such as so-called white privilege, gender privilege, and something called religious privilege, which is described as, quote, a set of advantages that benefits believers of a certain religion but not people who practice other religions and or no religions at all, unquote. Employees say they're presumed to comply with so-called inclusive language outlines that suggest replacing terms like brown bag lunch with lunch and learn or grab and go. Employees are also asked to go through a societal norms checklist and tick off boxes if they are white, Christian, or heterosexual. Cigna, valued in the tens of billions, boasts over 73,000 employees and offices worldwide. I mean, it's a huge company. A 2020 Fortune 500 ranking place corporation is the number 13th largest in the country as measured by revenue. The company recommends employees learn more about racism by reading controversial books such as White Fragility by that vicious, self-hating, anti-white woman Robin DiAngelo, and another one, How to Be an Anti-Racist by that radical black Ibram Kendi. The book list also includes two works by accused left-wing terrorist Angela Davis, Policing the Black Man and Our Prisons Obsolete. Davis was arrested in 1970 on kidnapping and murder charges following a deadly attack on the Marin County Civic Center. The lessons learned from the sensitivity training seminar, some employees allege, have been extended to the hiring process. Thousands of companies openly consider diversity when giving promotions or hiring new talent. But Cigna's practices go a step further, one employee alleges. Chat logs between an employee and a hiring manager reviewed by the Washington Examiner detail an incident where a minority candidate with strong credentials performed exceptionally well in an interview. When that employee suggested to the hiring manager that the company waive the candidate through to the next step in the process, the hiring manager dismissed the candidate under the assumption that he was white. After learning that the candidate belonged to a minority group, the manager said she was excited to hire him, despite learning virtually nothing else about his background. So even a non-white person with strong credentials is suspected of being white just because he gets good scores and has a good resume. That's how crazy they are. Given the hiring practices they have in place where white male candidates are blocked regardless of qualifications, I have to say yes, there's an obvious discrimination at this company, one employee told the Washington Examiner. Another time, an employee suggested a candidate with years of industry experience. That employee was informed by the hiring manager that the candidate, a white man, could not be interviewed because he did not meet the diversity criteria. His diversity stuff's just code for anti-white, and this proves it. Following the death of George Floyd last May, the company began holding mandatory town halls, which one employee described as white guilt events. So anyway, there you go. Everything's anti-white today, to the point to where you can't even call something a brown bag lunch without being accused of racism. So anyway, back to you, Bob. KAAJOY, Liberty Net, KO4FE.
You'd think they would be happy if we said brown bag instead of white bag, but all right. Thank you, Bill. KO4FE, KHOI. Next is Miss Laura. I know they're listening. N2JTT and N2IRJ. Good evening, good evening to you guys again. And now on to Mr. Mark in Maryland. November 3, Whiskey, Zulu, Sierra. Back to you, sir.
Boy, this is running way too fast. Yeah, so, okay, that, I'm going to change the subject matter here just a little bit. Maybe this is something grounding. You know, what we're dealing with right now is absolutely a spiritual war. It is good versus evil. It is a war against principles and principalities. And when we say it's a spiritual war, we're talking a religious war, we're talking about spirit. Spirit is an energetic. Spirit is who we are at the most basic level. And so when we look at it being a spiritual war, understand that all these reports that we hear, and to be clear, many times these reports are nothing more than propaganda. They are lies. And so, in order to overcome these things, some of them said that they didn't want to do news. And they didn't want to involve themselves with the news. And you know, that is the best thing that you can do, because we love non-attachment. That is emotional non-attachment to these reports is nothing more than propaganda, you know, by the control system. So having said that, what we must do is to recognize that most of what we see is fictional, and we see and hear is fictional. They're alive. We're talking about street theater. We're talking about crisis actors. And it is all done to perpetuate a control over the population. And it is, to be clear, it is to reduce the energetic signature of the population to hold us in a status quo condition, which is chaotic. That is how the population is controlled. So, but also what we have to do is to raise the energetic frequency. And that means, yeah, okay, is it all about love and happiness? Yeah, you're right, it is. And the only way that you can get that is by practicing emotional non-attachment to the severe negativity that is perpetuating our civilization right now. So, if we are to, if
divorce ourselves of these emotional attachments of negativity. And if enough of us do this, we will get to a critical mass. And if, call me crazy, but don't. It will cause a collapse of the current negative control system. When we reach a critical mass with our collective frequency rise, it will cause a collapse of the negative control system. Now, this has been proven time and again. We are the people that we have waited on. And so it's time to be aware of what the circumstance is, but do not attach to it. Be happy, be lighthearted, be loving to all. But of course, we can't be fooled. And so with that, I just want to tell everybody that you guys are awesome for doing this now. It gives everybody a chance to practice, but more importantly, to share useful knowledge and to raise our collective frequency. And on that, this is November 3, Whiskey Zulu Sierra, back to net control.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for your input. Appreciate you, the flowers on the net, and we enjoy being here, or we wouldn't be doing this. So we're continuing a legacy from Mr. Victor, W1WCR. So, again, thank you for your input. M3WZS, KJOI. Next is Mr. Jesse from the fraudulent state of Pennsylvania, also where the secretary of, what is that, Bimbo, that's a transgender, the secretary of health from Pennsylvania, the blonde guy that's a transgender. Jesse, you should be proud. Back to you.
Okay, very good, Bob, K-A-J-O-Y, stand by 1 second, trying to tweak this thing just a little bit more to make sure I'm getting awesome power out of this booger. Thank you, Bob, K-A-J-O-Y, in the second
line. This is Kilo Golf Course, the new X-ray Charlie out of Bugger, Fraud State of Pennsylvania, where the transvestites are taking over control. Yep, Tom Wolf Levine has got that position. I don't want to even comment on it because it just makes me completely sick. You know, because people like that are pushing their agenda down the American people's throat. Whether we like it or not, we have no choice. White Americans, I guess you could say. Well, it ain't just white Americans, it is all Americans. And they're going to keep continuing this racist bullcrap until they create a civil war between the blacks and the whites, or whoever it may encroach on. But, you know, this is what we're dealing with. Yeah, them news media, we all know they're liars. We know we can't trust half the stuff we read, and we have to fact check it between every one of our own selves, among other people, just to get the facts out there. Well, you know, that's what we're dealing with, and yeah, I can understand why people don't want to take the time to read news anymore, because they're just so sick of the bot, and that's just the way it is. Well, anyway, I got this one story real quick I wanted to read, and this is off 100% fed up. And yeah, unfortunately, it kind of reveals another story about whites. All right, are whites really to blame for mass shooting? The photo in this picture reveals the truth. Anyway, following the mass shooting of Boulder, Colorado, globalist leftist joined arms in arm in blaming white Americans of mass shootings in America. go figure. They can't do nothing but blame. You know, everybody is blaming somebody else for somebody else's problem. If that ain't racist in itself, I don't know what it is. But that's what we're dealing with, people. Following this mass shooting, once it was revealed the shooter was actually a Syrian native
who came to America as a child, who was a devoted Muslim and ISIS sympathizer, who hated Donald Trump and some of his major platforms. They quickly adjusted their narrative, but the inevitable gun grab began, and the international false imprisonment has been left on masses of Americans by those racist politicians and the media personalities, and white people are to blame for most of the shootings. If you guys want to take a look at that picture in itself, you know, I'm sure you've stumbled across it. The diversity, it shows all the foreign nationals that came into this country, and all white people being blamed for their mistakes. Let's blame Ford for all car accidents, or let's blame Michelin for all car traffic accidents with tires. Let's see, what are we going to outlaw next, people? Guns, cars, boats, knives, baseball bats, kitchen knives. I mean, what are we going to do next? I'm just wondering where this chaotic crap is going to end up. Well, who knows for sure, but hey, just keep watching. This is the clown show here, so you just got to remember that there is nothing that will not be challenged in this day and time. All right, I'm going to unpause for just a second, KC4ZXC for ID, and I want to go into another article. All right, let's see, off 100% there. The sellers are talking about they refuse to allow couples that bought a home to move in due to the COVID-19 restriction loophole. I didn't read this article first, but we're going to all read together, I guess, right here. We have heard all about the COVID and we have been wielded as weapons in the election and the business throughout the 2020-2021 across America. However, you are now in the progressive state of California. It appears that as though there is yet another government COVID scam, and you may not have heard it, but the police have no interest in or apparently ability to resolve it. All Californians should consider the recall of Gavin's out there in California now. Well, anyway, what they're just going into, when traffic and mail Albert purchased a beautiful four-bedroom house in Riverside, California, they never realized at the end of the escrow, the seller would suddenly refuse to give up the keys to leave. It's just draining emotionally and financially, says Tracy. The couple purchased the home more than a year later, and they still haven't been able to get inside their property. Chris Taylor and his real estate agent, who sold the house to Albert from a man who wanted to sell immediately. Anyway, he needed $550,000 to sell his house in 2 weeks, and he called me Monday from the real estate office, and the buyer had cash money, and he said, the house was free and clear and worth over $550,000. Albert found it was a great deal, and it took us scrambling to get everything we had together. Anyway, the story goes on to the loophole that I was trying to get to. But the bottom line is, I'm not even going to go into this story because it just keeps escalating into more garbage and nonsense when they could just spit it out that because of being white, there's a loophole in the California law now that gives them the loophole if you do not finish paying for the property that you can still stay in there.
So this is more government overreach on California's part. They're not moving to California anytime soon, ladies and gentlemen.
That's a state that's already is in flames already. So what can I say there? Well, anyway, I won't go into anything else other than one other article, and I'll keep it simple. Ted Cruz gives an epic response to his report from asking the media asking him to wear a mask during an interview. Well, Mr. Cruz, Ted Cruz, the governor, he gave them a brilliant response. When I am talking to a TV camera, I am not going to wear a mask. All of us have been immunized, and he tells them, if you don't feel comfortable, competent, then you should back away. And that was what Gabe Cruz said to the reporters today. This is KG4ZXC and the Saturday Night Liberty Net. Back to Net Control, KAKLY. Back to you, sir.
Thank you, Jesse. KG4ZX Tennessee. I agree with Mr. Cruz. I unfortunately had to go to the hospital on Friday for a stress test from my employer. I went in there with a mask on, and the young lady said, oh, you need to wear our mask. So she hands me one of those blue masks, and I said, where was this made? And she looked at the package, and yes, you guessed it, China. I said, no, thank you. I have my own mask on, and in fact, I'm wearing a ripped condom. I am well protected. And I headed off to the doctor's office, so I just love doing that at the hospital. Let's see, Mr. Christopher, KN4ZES, good evening. You're listening still? And then I'm going to go to Mr. Mo, KD0RSA. Mr. Mo in Nebraska, I'm going to hand it to you, over. I don't hear Mr. Mo, so bottom of my list is Mr. Frank, Whiskey 2, Golf, Ida, Oscar. Mr. Frank, what you got?
Yeah, WQIL. I don't have anything else. I'm leaving with my normal greetings, which is there is good news, there is great news today, and that is that God loves us.
Hey, zero, where is he? Are you calling me? Over.
All righty, Mr. Frank, we appreciate you saying that. And I do look forward to you saying it each time. So, yes, God does love us. I thought I heard Mr. Mo again. Let me release the microphone and see if you're there. Nope, I don't hear him. Let me see if I've got anybody else that'd like to check in. I really wish I could hear that one station, the REX station. So let me see if I've got any late check-ins. Over.
Time to do it again.
I got an Echo and I got a Romeo. That's all I got out of that. Can you try it again?
The number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8.
Well, this time I got a November 8. What's the ending?
It's Kilo Foxtrot 8 Romeo Echo X-ray.
All righty, I think I've got it. After all this time, I'm so sorry. Kilo Foxtrot 8 Romeo Echo X-ray. My call sign, Rex, is Kilo Alpha 8, and the word joy, Juliet, Oscar, and a Yankee. the word joy, like joy to the world. Juliet, Oscar, and a Yankee.
I copy that. Yeah, I'm interested. These guys you're talking, they are fantastic. They definitely have a lot of knowledge about what's going on and the ills of the world right now.
Roger, Roger. Do you have? I know your signal's kind of weak, and I can relay to the other people. Do you have anything you'd like to add to the net that I can relay over? All righty, Mr. Rex. We appreciate you joining us. We're here Wednesdays and Saturdays, 10 p.m. Now it's daylight savings time until we're done. So you're welcome to come back. And if you're just looking to do some rag chewing, might I recommend 3.919. 3.919. Every night from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Over. Alrighty, Rex, I'm going to move on. Thank you for jumping in there. KF8, Romeo Echo X-ray. This is KHOI. Mr. Larry, I'm back to you for the 73 round and for ROQ. If you are listening, I hope you are. What do you think about all this UFO stuff being released? Over.
I think it's great. We need to get it out there. There's a lot more stuff that can be released if they would. I kind of believe they're not going to release very much. There's thousands and millions of pages of accounts out there. And it should have been released 50, 75 years ago. Okay. Regarding health and well-being, this is from Knoxville. This gentleman is a doctor, Dr. Jim Ferguson. He writes a good article, and he's a conservative, and he's writing about the society today. And I think it's a really good, it's in the Knoxville Focus, F-O-C-U-S, which is a local paper here. And it's regarding euthanisms. And he says a society that puts equality ahead of freedom will end up with neither equality nor freedom. The use of force to achieve equality will destroy freedom, and the force introduced for good purposes will end up in the hands of people who will use it to promote their own interest. And that was written by Milton Friedman. Change is inevitable, says a great philosopher from Amethyst. That's in 500 B.C. Now, however, we are in the midst of revolutionary change. Conservatives are not against change, but prefer it to be measured and reasoned, especially in regard to big issues. Sometimes in the midst of maelstrom, it's hard to see the winds of even radical transformation. But make no mistake, the radicals are now in charge, and they are using the power of Washington, D.C., to finish Obama's self-proclaimed radical transformation of the United States. If you perceive what is right, the drumbeat of what is wrong tends to wear you down. And after a while, the chorus of wrong may convince you that their way is actually enlightened, or enviable, hip, or progressive, and you should go along to get along. There's not even a realism. It's called Gaslight. In Homer's epic poem, The Odyssey, the reader is introduced to a sirens and group of malevolent women who sing so sweetly that sailors are enticed to steer their ships to doom. A wonderful modern adaptation of The Odyssey and a depiction of sirens is found in the Coen Brothers movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? If you haven't seen it, you should. It's a lot easier than reading Homer's Odyssey in full text. It's meant to resist the siren song of culture, guitar, media, and euphemism, a Democrat, progressive, and socialist. But you must, and to resist, you must understand the enemies of freedom. Webster defines a euphemism as a substitution of offensive or unpleasant term with a more agreeable term. I've told this story before, but it bears repeating because it is the perfect example of a euphemism. Now, the early 1920s, progressives were losing elections because of their policies, for example, the national income tax and prohibition were very unpopular. Then in 1922, progressive named John Dewey, not a Dewey's decimal fame, recommended that progressives change their name modern liberals, hearkening to the classical liberalism of the Enlightenment and the founders. Modern liberals like Obama and Hillary Clinton have little in common with classical liberalism. I'm not sure what Oponus is. Over time, the modern description of liberalism was not. These liberals like Obama and Clinton actually identify themselves as progressives. The title progressive is a euphemism because he did not want to move forward in an enlightened manner as the name suggests. But then who wants to progress the policies of an ever-expanding government, redistribution of wealth, non-originalist interpretation of the Constitution, a federal mandated living wage, and single-payer universal health care controlled by Washington bureaucrats? Someone should tell AOC types that Medicare is not free. These days, one of the most deceitful uses is social justice. We live in a society, and who doesn't want justice? Justice promotes fairness, and in our constitutional republic, we suppose we are guaranteed equal justice under law. Some might argue that Hillary Clinton and John Q. Public operate under different systems of justice. Ancients believe that civilization could be built on what we recognize as the cardinal virtues of courage, common sense, justice, and modernization. And of course, the left wing, Tolstoy wrote about faith, hope, and love. We call these the theological virtues, which I believe steer the cardinal virtues like the rudder on a ship. Maybe this belief is in two terms in social justice, SJ, that produces the euphemism. The social justice movement operates on diversity, inclusion, and equity. Diversity recognizes that there are differences in the human family. This is obvious and common sensical. The problem occurs because social justice uses diversity to divide and emphasizes groups rather than individuals. Karl Marx also promoted group conflict between owners, capitalists, and workers. And SJ now promotes conflict based on race, sex, etc. In most of these, in a struggle for power through intersectionality, few would argue that excluding people because of race, gender, etc. is just. That people have differing gifts. One of an educational qualification is excluded from Harvard because he's white and the equity system demands more people of color. Becky and I are people of faith, but we were Catholic. She could not be the Pope. Neither should I demand I be allowed to join the Lady Vols basketball team or start in the next NCAA tournament game. You must understand that equality under law is different. The former denotes fairness guaranteed under the law. The latter demands a predetermined, often biased outcome. I reject the notion that America is inherently racist or that I'm a racist because I'm white. People who see color as defining a person or a group are the racists. Don't be duped by the euphemism of SJ. The movement is all about gaining power through dehumanizing and class warfare rather than reason and justice. You must be alert to their euphemism. One of my readers wisely advises his proteges to think for yourself and be really careful who thinks for you.
to a social justice warrior, any majority is the oppressor and any minority is the oppressed.
Since I'm white, I am an
oppressor.
As a person without color, I wonder if I would be oppressed in Africa.
Do you see the demands of the SJ movement as constitutional?
I'm sure you noticed that SJ warriors now use the term climate change rather than global warming. They are also preferentially used the term white nationalism more than white supremacy. I am white and I believe in national borders. So by the perverse SJ logic, I'm a white nationalist. At this stage of my life, I'm blessed. I'm no longer confused about what is right. I know where I think that. I focus on where I'm going. This spring, I had a regular job date with my grandson. I have enough time, resources, good friends, and a wonderful wife and partner. No shame that SJ euphemism makes me hesitant to refer to Becky as my wife's partner without an explanation. So this is Dr. Ferguson. Ferguson, J.A.I.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S.A.S. on the loop now.
All righty, Larry, thank you for being with us tonight, N4ROQ, KHOI. I'm going to quick throw out that KN4ZES, he said he's listening and watching the lightning crashes, hoping the power stays on. So do we. Next is Mr. Bill, KO4FE. What do you have for the summing up of the night, Mr. Bill, KHOI?
Okay, KHOI. Liberty Net from KO4FE. Well, the stories just keep coming. Here we got another one. Oakland to give $500 per month to so-called BIPOC families to eliminate racial disparities. It was off Breitbart. The mayor of Oakland, California is rolling out a program that awards low-income black families, foreign nationals, and the homeless $500 a month, and apparently excluding white households living in equivalent poverty. According to CNN, the Oakland's Resilient Families Program will give the extra cash to families with at least one minor child, selecting recipients at random from online databases. To qualify for the Oakland Resilient Families payments, families must have at least one child under 18. Their income must be at or below the area's median income of around $59,000 a year for a family of three. But half the available spots will be reserved for very low-income families, those who earn below 138% of the federal poverty level, or about $30,000 a year for a family of three. An online multilingual screening form will be released later this spring and summer, after which families will be chosen at random to receive the payment. The program is also open to illegal aliens because recipients will not be required to work for the payments. The money is not considered taxable income. The program is reportedly funded by private donations rather than tax collections. Well, if the liberals want to throw away their money, I guess they could do it. Anyway, and it will select 600 families for payouts, half a total of $9,000 per family, distributing $5.4 million out of $6.75 million the organization has raised so far. Mayor Libby Schaaf praised the guaranteed income statement or program in a statement. The poverty line we all witnessed today is not a personal failure, it's a systems failure. Once again, I got to interject that and point out that these systems that the liberals are always complaining about are ones that they run. I mean, who's been running Oakland, California for the past 50 years? It hadn't been conservatives. It's been leftists, communists, and Democrats. Anyway, guaranteed income is one of the most promising tools for system change, racial equity, and economic mobility that we've seen in decades. Shaft's pictured reference equity indicates adherence to the rising trend of anti-racism. Well, they ought to call it anti-whiteism if they were at one, to be accurate. That'll come, don't worry. But anyway, a concept popularized by Ibram X. Kendi, which argues in favor of racial discrimination for the purposes of achieving equal outcomes between demographics. The city statement makes this explicit, declaring one of its objectives is to, quote, eliminate racial disparities, unquote. Points to a data survey titled the Oakland Equity Index, which reports on average the city's white households earn considerably more than its minority households. Daily Mail notes that according to the Oakland Equity Index, around 8% of the city's white residents, approximately 10,000 people, live in poverty. The city statement does not make any mention of assistance for poor white families. The statement only designates so-called BIPOC families, black, indigenous, people of color, as recipients. Other guaranteed income programs have been instituted in Stockton, California in 2019, where 100 dwellers received $500 payments without any strings attached. The report also noted three other states have also created similar handouts in Newark, New Jersey, and Atlanta, Georgia. Well, as long as the liberals are giving out the money, their own money, I don't care, but if it's taxpayer money, I'm going to call bullshit on that. That's pure discrimination. So anyway, Bob, back to you, 73s. Thanks for running the net, and good evening to all the check-ins. K-A-8-J-O-Y, Liberty Net from KO4-FE.
Thank you, Bill. Isn't it interesting how everything is going to the black and brown and indigenous? It is definitely going to turn this country, it already has turned this country upside down, but it's just going to make this racial divide worse, over.
Yeah, Roger, and this is just the beginning with it. These leftists are going to go even further with this. Believe me, it's not going to stop, and it's not going to just stay at this level. They're going to keep increasing it now.
Amazing. All righty. Well, thank you, Bill. I'm KO4FE, KHLY. Let me say hi to Miss Laura and Mr. Marty and to JTP and to IRJ. And KN4ZES made a comment. He said, yes, just got back on. We had a power failure. Someone mentioned Evergreen. That would be Mark. I wanted to mention some interesting background for the bride of Chucky, Jen Peska. She is the founder of Evergreen Consulting, a senior advisor to West Exec Advisors and an advisor to Demand Justice and, of course, an on-air commentator and opinion writer for CNN. But yet another Evergreen connection. It just doesn't stop. Well, let Mr. Mark, since I threw that out, I'll give it to you for your final thoughts. November 3, Whiskey Zulu Sierra. Mr. Mark, it's handed to you, KHLY.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Yeah, final comments here for the TV. You know, it's, there is absolutely nothing that is happening reaction. Everything is staged, everything is controlled, and
And what we see are the symptoms of a failing regime. The negative, the dark, the evil, they're scratching and clawing, but they're being systematically taken apart. And these reports about, you know, pushing racial inequality and reverse discrimination, every bit of this is, it's all part of that failing system. And it is failing, I have no doubt about that. A year from now, we're going to be living an entirely different story, and it's going to be a positive story. You know, but in order to facilitate that, as I had mentioned earlier, is that we need to be extremely vigilant. And we cannot involve ourselves with emotional attachment about how wrong things are. Because as soon as we start to play that game, well, now we're fighting against the negative as opposed to rising above it. We must always and consistently rise above the negativity that is being projected to us. You know, I've got so many friends, and of all colors, and I tell them straight up, we will not be divided. And they know that. We're not going to be divided. There's not a shot. We might have our differences, you know, but it probably has more to do with our diet than the color of our skin. So we're not going to be concerned about a system that is trying to divide us. It's simply not going to happen. And I have the utmost confidence that that's the case. You know, I talk to these folks and they're not, they see it. They see it just like we see it. So, you know, the reports that we hear and the arguments that are issued, that's the agenda that they may have, but that's not the effect that it's having. So trust that. Anyways, there's nothing going on that isn't part of the plan, and this plan is unfolding. You know, this evergreen is just yet another part of it, and this is absolutely Hillary Rodham Clinton, you know, baby harvesting, and, you know, fuel trafficking. You know, in the Suez Canal. So this is a really, really big thing. So you may not hear about it because if you are following mainstream media, they will tell you nothing. We know that. And there's an abundance of information there, and it will absolutely raise your frequency. And with that, let me turn it back over to control. And I just got to make sure that it's KAHJOY N3WZS. Back to net.
Roger, Roger, Mark, you are correct. It's Kilo Alpha 8 and the word joy, one of the fruits of the spirit. So when I got my general, I never changed. That was my original novice license. And God rest her soul, my first wife, a sweet woman. I don't know how she put up with me. But as soon as I got the call letter, the first words out of that girl's mouth was, oh, one of the fruits of the Spirit, as per the Bible. So I've always kept it. So thank you for your comments, and thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Let me go to Mr. Jesse in the fraudulent state of Pennsylvania. Oh, by the way, Jesse, you might want to comment on good old Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg, our Secretary of Transportation, he is proposing a mileage tax. So they want to put a device in each one of our cars, and it wants to keep track of your mileage, and instead of taxing the fuel, to give you a mileage tax monthly. Oh, isn't that wonderful? And they thought Donald Trump was a jackass. So, up to you, Jesse, KG4ZX and a Z, KAHJO and a Y.
Okay, very good, Bob. And the Liberty Net, this is KG4ZXE out of Voter Fraud State of Pennsylvania, where my vote was stolen, and I know it. Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, there's so much that we could talk about, and we'll actually get nowhere, but we're going to discuss things anyway. Hey, did any of you guys see the headline news, Bob, on this part? The Biden administration is now flying to thousands of migrants out of McAllen, Texas, according to Gene
Tullus Eno, you know, the old Xbox news anchor, the Judge Jeanine. Anyway, she's on One American News Network now. And 40% of the traffic is illegal aliens paid for it by guess who? Yes, you know it, the American tax dollars. And they're going to fly people everywhere they can. And of course, there's no one knows about their COVID status. We were sent to this yesterday from a reader in Dallas. Yesterday I flew on a commercial airline to DWF on a major career carrier in a career... I can't read with these glasses, but anyway. A carrier who has removed small children from planes for not wearing masks. And I can't believe what I witnessed. They are allowing immigrants with no ID, no passport, TSA, to fly. How is this safe? Could the infection be COVID-19, maybe? Could they be terrorists? Could these people be unsafe? And they're coming from all over the country, and yet here we go, flying them all over the place with no type of mask, no escorts, no nothing. And they're coming to a city near you guys. We've already seen the influx of immigrants here in this state already, and yes, I will say this, they are taking over the company that I work for, so hello. Guess what, America? We're being pushed out. The next thing you know, your mama's home will be foreclosed and put into a migrant family. A migrant family will inherit your mother's and father's property, and before you know it, they'll probably be inheriting mine as well. We got problems here, ladies and gentlemen, and yeah, it's not being reported, but we out here as individuals and ham operators, we need to be aware of what's going on and start making notes, taking pictures, and start doing things and reporting it and what's going on in each state. From every individual out here, we need everybody to start being their own news reporting station at this point, because we are being stifled by news media from one end to the other, and it cannot go on, ladies and gentlemen. And yeah, we can hide our head in the sand if we want, but it ain't gonna fix the problem. I'll be lucky if I see two more years if this administration or this fake government, this clown show continues. I'll be lucky if we see 2 years here in this country without some kind of major war breaking out. Because China's got their hands all over this, and we all know it. And, you know, the puppet show up in Washington is a fine example of it. And it doesn't take rocket scientists to figure it out. Hey, with that, this is the 73 round, and I am KG4ZXNC, Jesse out of Pennsylvania. Once again, this is the Saturday Night Liberty Net. Thanks for running the net, Bob, and thank you each and every one of you guys who checked in tonight. It's good to see the net logger filled with all these call signs. I don't want to get into it, but let me say hello to Mrs. Lori into JTTF, and Mr. Marty, Net Manager, into IOJ, and we appreciate everything the Net has done for everybody out there. Back to you, Bob, K-H-A-O-Y, K-G-Z-X-S-C.
Alrighty, Jesse, the band's pretty staticky, but I heard you pretty well. So, KG4ZX-C, K-H-A-O-Y. Again, Mr. Christopher, KN4ZES, thank you for riding along with us and typing to me. And let me see if Mr. Moe's there. KD0RSA. Mr. Moe, are you there for any final words?
KD0RSA. Moe up here in Nebraska. Well, I'm having trouble hearing because of the lightning strikes. I can hear Jesse very good. Or none of everybody else, And you're down quite a ways, but I can still hear off and on what you're saying. Larry, I can't hear him at all. And EF or whatever it was, he always comes in loud and clear. So that's what I'm hearing right now. Yes, this country is getting really changed over to whatever you want to call it. I call it disaster got in there, and he's pulling all kinds of crap. And the rest of them are all going along with it. And if that Biden kid, can you imagine what news media would have been saying? If that would have been Trump's kid, man, I'll tell you what, they'd still be talking about it. The way it is, you don't hear a peep out of the suckers. They're all stuck together like a bunch of communists, as far as I'm concerned. Well, I'll get off my horse and turn her back to you, Bob. KZRSA, back your net over.
All righty, Mr. Moe, I'm going to relay kind of what I heard you say. You mentioned that Larry wasn't coming in to you, and I think Jesse was. And one of your main comments was, could you imagine if that incident with good old Biden's child and this firearm and this false information on the form, can you imagine if it would have been one of Donald Trump's kids? We would never hear the end of it. However, since it's Biden's kid, they're trying to stuff it underneath the carpeting. So that was Mr. Moe's basic topic there. So again, Moe, the band is pretty bad, but thank you for checking in. It's always a pleasure to hear you, and I'll look for you. I will look for you tomorrow night on 3919. So 73, God bless you. Let me go down to Mr. Frank, Whiskey 2, Golf Ida Oscar. Mr. Frank, are you there for the 73 round? All righty, Frank, thank you for jumping in there. Yes, God does love us. I hope he's looking down upon us and his blessings do help us because we're in trouble. But thank you, Frank. W2TIOKJY. And last on my list is Mr. Rex in Michigan. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Romeo Echo X-ray. Over. Nothing heard. So I'm at the bottom of my list. Let me see if anybody would like a final comment before I close the net. This is KAJOY. With that, nothing else being heard, I'm going to reach over my shoulder and find my little book. As I close the window on this night's Liberty Net, I want to wish Mrs. Calabash a good night wherever she is, as well as a safe night to all the ships at sea, including the United States Navy sailors and soldiers, as they are most likely listening. 73 is to tonight, Liberty Netters that are absent, Mr. Victor, W1WCR, Mr. Marty, N2IRJ, Ms. Laura, N2JTTF. It is my prayer for God to bless this great America. It is my prayer for He blesses all of you. Thank you for joining us tonight. Look for you on Wednesday night. This is KAHJOY.